Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And hello and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. This is our edition of The Gathering. Welcome, everybody. The number here is 1-888-815-9756. This is, I know, Fran, you're looking at me like I said too many eights again, but the number is 1-888-815-9756.
Yeah, and you know what? You probably didn't, but I think I'm so attuned to when people leave telephone numbers, there's that pause.
Right.
So that they can say, okay, that was 3 8s, and
right.
Now I've got a fourth eight. And
right.
I think, do you say 2 8s, 3 8s, 4 8s?
Wow. Well, we've got, I think by now they have the number.
Crazy.
Well, let's do it again. 888-815-9756.
And as I said, this is an on-air live Afterlife discussion group. We pick a topic once a month. There are four of us here, Tom and Melissa Gould, and Fran and Bob Ginsberg. And tonight's topic is a continuation of a previous topic. We're talking about mediums and its warning signs and how to tell the difference between a psychic and a medium. I know that's confusing to some people it's not, but we're going to go over all of that in depth very shortly. We have a sponsor tonight.
Our sponsor is L&R Productions.
L&R Productions. That's lnrproductions.com. And let's go to some of our upcoming events before we get this thing rolling.
Oh, upcoming events, my favorite. Well, you know, with these hard times upon us, some of our supporters write to say they love the radio show. They want to see it continue. They love the work of Forever Family Foundation, but they just don't have the extra dollars these days to send our way. Even though we are a 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, it still takes a lot of money to do the work we do, and yet we want to do so much more. So this is how everyone can help without sending us money. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that is taken out. And each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Easy as pie. But you don't have to stop there. If your shopping takes you to the internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com. But first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website. And again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for the items you're looking for. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find your items in one of the 700-plus online stores, sites, hotels, and that list goes on, a portion of what you spend is, again, donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few minutes when you shop and show us you care. And next, we want to talk about our upcoming Fort Myers Conference. It's our annual conference in November. We are going to spend a weekend with four well-known research mediums who also happen to be on the Medium Advisory Board of Forever Family Foundation. We also have planned a delicious banquet dinner with an intimate meet and greet with the scientists, researchers, and mediums, while internationally renowned medium Suzanne Northrup conducts spirit communication. So you should make your arrangements for the Forever Family Foundation's fourth annual conference and pre-conference banquet dinner this coming November in Fort Myers, Florida. It's a weekend filled with hands-on science and spirit communication. Check it out at our website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. And I'll be happy to talk to you and answer all your questions about that. And if you own a business, there's also business opportunities in line with the conference, because we are printing a program. You can run ads in the program. If you're down in Fort Myers during that time, we have vendor tables that are available, and we also always have business membership, which comes with a complete media program. Now, we also have coming up our Holidays Past raffle. It's already up on the website. You can be one of the five lucky winners. 5 one-hour readings will be raffled off, but with the following mediums: Bobby Allison, Angelina Diana, Rebecca Angelo Cicero, Laura Lynn Jackson, and Kathy Towell. It's $5 a chance, so go online and take your chances or buy your chances. We also have this year 3 Holiday Past events scheduled in the month of December. On December 4th, we will be in Bethel, Connecticut. The medium who will be conducting spirit communication, they will be Angelina Diana. And we have an additional show called Evidence of an Afterlife that's going to be presented by Dave Kanan. That's an extremely wonderful thing to see if you're questioning whether or not our loved ones really are communicating with us. Then on December 11th, Janet Nohavik will be in Island, New Jersey, and she will be our medium conducting spirit communication for the evening. And on December 18th in Melville, New York, Angelina Diana will be back for another evening of spirit communication.
There's a lot going on.
There is.
Wow.
There's a lot more, but that's current.
We'll go to break in a minute. I know that, as I mentioned, that tonight's topic is concerning mediums, warning signs, the difference between psychics and a medium. And, you know, we always get a lot of questions at the foundation. Not everybody is very familiar with mediums and psychics, and they are always asking questions like, you know, how do I be a good sitter? What do I say? What do I bring? What shouldn't I say? You know, and what do I do when it's over? And how do I know if the medium's real? So we're going to get into all of that very shortly. So stay with us. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we are going to start our conversation, and we hope you'll join in with the conversation with us. So we'll be right back.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, EAA EVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-815-9756. And we hope to hear from you. Let's start off here. Where to begin? We say warning signs. And what we mean by warning signs are, what should you really look out for, both before and during, a reading. So I guess the place to begin is when you're setting up an appointment with a medium. What information should you be giving the medium? So I would think that...
What should you not
give? I mean, my opinion is all the medium really needs is they do need a phone number in case they have to, change the appointment.
Right.
And they need a first name,
Right.
Most reputable mediums are not going to resort to cheating tactics, but, I know... When I was new to this, the first medium I went to, I used a fictitious name. I'm not saying that you have to do that, but that's how paranoid I was.
And
I also paid with cash.
But then weren't you so much more satisfied that the reading you got was...
That's true, and that's me, because I needed that to know that. I don't know how you feel.
Right, so my opinion to anybody would be, you're the one that's bereaved. You're the one that's going there for the evidence, if that's what you're going there for. And if you're going there for the evidence, then you do whatever you need to set up at your end to make sure that what you walk away with is as pure as it could possibly be.
Right.
During that reading, Bob,
yeah.
Did any of your loved ones come through and call you on the false identity?
Oh, the name, to give me the name that it, that's interesting.
Like, are you using, I'm being told, that's not really your
now
name.
Unfortunately, no. But the medium, in this case, was really my first experience. I went in very open-minded, but very skeptical, and open-minded skeptic, I guess. And, I came away, I thought it was really an astounding experience. It was a very, very good reading and a good medium. So those steps probably weren't necessary, but for me they were, because otherwise I would have been saying, okay, you look me up on the Internet, mm-hmm. you found some of the stories, blah, blah, blah. I mean, Tom, when you go to a medium, do you give your first name, or what do you usually do?
Well, just today I was speaking to someone who has booked a reading with Robert Hansen this weekend, and over the phone they said, just give us your first name, give us the number where we can reach you, and don't tell me anything else.
That's refreshing.
That's good.
So they have, on their end, made sure that the sitter was not giving too much.
Excellent.
And the sitter had been to mediums before, and in fact she was at her desk at work and was watching the caller ID because she didn't want to pick up and say the name of the company.
Right.
So she saw that it was Robert Hansen's people, and she just picked up and said hello. So both sides were playing the game, but I think because she was an experienced sitter, somebody who's coming first time out, that it should be the medium's people or the medium themselves who hold them at bay and say, don't tell me anything. Just
right.
Yeah, and I've heard of people telling me that going to a medium for the first time, the staff person making the appointment has said to them, and who would you like to connect with?
Wow.
To me, that
spoils it.
That's
we
a red
that.
Flag.
We hear that, though. Sometimes
we do
during
hear
process.
That.
Right.
Well, you know what? Sometimes when we do our segment the third Thursday night of every month, when we have mediums and messages on, sometimes some of the guest mediums will do that. They feel that with the pressures of being live on the air, and they don't want to have dead air, if they can try and focus in, let's say they have several spirits waiting for the one person, they can try and quickly focus in on the one that they want to hear from. It would be a more satisfying reading for the...
Right. But there's a big difference, you know, in those two scenarios.
Right.
And I don't necessarily discount and maybe that's true. Giving the name of a discarnate might somehow facilitate, you know, the connection. And who are we to say that it can't? But giving somebody you're sitting in front of the medium and they're asking you and it's right there. There's no time to do any cheating or research. But if you're making an appointment 4 months in advance and then they're asking you, then I have a problem with that. You know, they could ask you at the time, you know, if that's the way that they work.
No, I was a research sitter for the University of Arizona, the Veritas Lab, and for the blind reading, they did tell me, give me the name of the first name of the person you were hoping to hear from, and again, this was a test laboratory situation, and they didn't know who I was. All they had was just the first name of the person I wanted to reach, but I thought that was interesting on that end.
Yeah. When I probably did it years before with the Veritas, but it wasn't Veritas when I did it at the University of Arizona.
Yeah.
And there were several parts to it, and in the first two parts, I believe, there was no exchange of information at all.
Yeah.
And that was remarkable.
Yeah. A lot of people ask, how should they prepare, you know, for a reading? And a lot of people, a great many people, seem to want to bring a physical object of the deceased person that they would love to communicate with. And I don't necessarily see anything wrong with it. However, if you go, for instance, I just watched a special on TV about Lilydale. I don't know if you caught that, but there was one person that sat in front of the medium with a huge necklace with a locket with a huge picture of his deceased son, just out there, not under his clothing, out,
Well, so let me see. You have a deceased.
I understand it's very emotional, and you want everybody to, but. In that particular circumstance, wouldn't you want to trust the evidence? So just tuck it in, you know?
Yeah, I know. I was just going to say, he may not have even realized that it was out. Maybe his intention was to put it inside his shirt or button his jacket or something.
Yeah.
You know, and the camera just... Or it could have been the cameraman being not too bright about the whole procedure and saying, oh, come on, let's have the shirt because it'll look nice for us to see your son. You know, you don't really know what really went on.
Right. Don't you think that a lot of people... go to the readings and they have blinders on and understandably so, that, you know, they're focused on one specific person.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they're just, and the medium's giving them evidence left and right, and they're just not acknowledging anything because it's not that,
That's we've seen
person.
That a lot.
Yeah.
We always try
yeah.
to remind people, don't go in with expectations.
Yeah.
And they go, I know. But in their hearts, they really
well, you
want to
hear. Not expectations, but the question was, how do you prepare? And certainly, for the days leading up to it, you can yourself communicate to the person, your loved one. Because remember that, ideally, no one needs a medium because your loved one is all around. And when you speak, they hear you. And they try to communicate back, but for whatever reasons, you're not hearing it, so you go to a medium who can hear the communication back. So to prepare yourself before you go to a medium, if you do want to hear from someone in particular, the days preceding, light a candle for them at night, say a prayer for them, talk to them before you go to sleep, talk to them the day as you're driving to the appointment with a medium. That helps a lot. We had an experience recently. A friend of ours flew in from California to meet with one of our certified mediums, and, of course, he wanted someone very particular that he wanted to speak to, And before he even sat down for the reading, the medium said, I was in the bathroom last Monday night, and your person came to me. And so that's how it works. If you know the medium that you're going to see and you know who you want to hear from, it can work in that way, that the spirit will show up ahead of time and let the medium know.
To us, it's ahead of time, but to them, there is no.
There is no time.
So,
there are ways that you can prepare. That doesn't guarantee you're going to hear from who you want to hear from. And as all of us have said, it's very important to keep an open mind and let whoever comes through. Because often I'll sit down and I'll hear from my grandmother or my grandfather and people like that that I hadn't meant to, I didn't intend to hear from, but they were delivering messages nonetheless. And then sometimes you'll hear from people you don't even know, and they have a message for a friend or a relative, and why it's very important to bring a pad with you. Okay, let's talk about physical things to prepare for a medium. Bring a pad and paper, because you'll want to write everything down. I know that I have been in a reading, some of the first readings, when you actually get it and you're face-to-face and the medium's looking right at you and they start to deliver things and you immediately know, my gosh, they're actually doing this and you're getting this, it's overwhelming sometimes. And some of them would be rapid-fire with stuff, and, again, you're thrown off guard if it's somebody else, and it's important to write everything down. Or even better is to bring a recorder and record the whole thing so you can listen later, because often we always record every sitting these days, and we listen to it again and then maybe months later, and then you hear those things, you go, oh, that's what they're talking about, and that sort of thing. I remember before the conference that we had in November here on Long Island, there was the radio show was done from the hotel, and Angelina Diana was there and Janet Mayer, and Angelina brought through somebody for me, and it was a guy who I knew very well. He was a musician, and I had been to a class with him, so he was a teacher, a mentor, a friend, and he came straight through for me. And I sat there because she said something about, oh, he makes guitars or he does something with guitars. And that very afternoon, I had been to my friend in Huntington, who was very much alive, who makes guitars, and I had brought my guitar in to be worked on. So as soon as she said, this guy makes guitars, I kept thinking of my friend in Huntington. I didn't even realize my good friend, who had passed away 10 months before, was coming through to me. And it wasn't until days later that I went, oh, my goodness. And Janet Mayer even chimed in saying, he's showing me Sherlock Holmes. He's showing me the Sherlock Holmes pipe in a hat. And, of course, he's going, hey, Sherlock, it's me, you know, which was his sense of humor.
Right.
So things will happen. People you did want to hear from will come through, and because it doesn't come through the way you think it's going to come through, you don't even realize it till later. So a lot of what happens in a reading comes to you later, days later, weeks later, even months later.
Which is the reason to bring a tape recorder, and that's the other warning sign. If the medium tells you you cannot tape record it,
leave.
Yeah, the only reason that mediums, and it's rare, but some mediums do say that they don't allow recording, and to me, that is a big warning sign. The argument that they would give is that it somehow interferes with spirit, but then, you know, look how many people get electronic voice phenomena. I mean, the spirit evidently wants to communicate by recording.
They've been using all of our electronics.
Yeah. Can Fran remind us, you know, the last time we talked about this topic, you talked about the ethics of the medium. If they sit down with you and they really don't bring anyone through, I think we talked about that a little bit last time.
Yeah, I think it's up to the sitter to let the medium know as soon as possible. that, you know, for all the information that's coming, it's not, nothing is significant, nothing is evidential, nothing's coming through. You're going to wait till the end of the reading and then tell the medium, you know, you didn't give me any good information. That's really not fair to the medium.
Yeah.
I mean, this is their livelihood. They don't just do this because they have nothing better to do.
Mm-hmm.
This pays their rent just the same way you go to work to pay your rent. So you have to be kind to them as well and understand that this is a process. They're just a vehicle, and they're giving you exactly what they're getting. If it doesn't make sense, like Tom suggested, you bring a tape recorder, play it back later. But if clearly the medium isn't making a connection, the medium wants your feedback that it's not happening because she may be thinking the same thing if you're
yeah.
not giving her. Yeah.
And another warning sign to watch out for in that very thing is what I like to, and I'm the only one who does, but I call it the John Edward syndrome. Is if you watch John Edward on TV, every once in a while he goes, "Oh no, no, I'm right. This is it. This is the message. You're supposed to get that." Well, it doesn't mean anything to me. No, no, you write it down. It'll make sense later. And I have seen, particularly in our medium certification, people who don't come through fall back on that, and they tell the sitter, "No, no, this is good. This is good. You're getting real information. I'm giving you the real truth here." And you know, and they're looking at me like, I don't understand what's going on here. You know?
Well, I think that there's a difference there. If they tell you, because we've seen some mediums that will tell you that, and that's just a way of moving on. Okay, just write it down or take it for whatever. But then there are other mediums that say, "Okay, let me go back to spirit and get more information." You know, and then they seem to be able to do that and then come back with more evidence to you know, and that, you know, is good to see. You know, the other thing is, how many people refer to mediums as psychics? You know, I mean, there's psychics, there's mediums, there's clairvoyants, and not too many people recognize, you know, the difference, you know, between. So you might want to, you know, communicate with a deceased loved one and you go to a psychic. And as we've talked about many times before, not all psychics, you know, are mediums, although the reverse is true. So if you want to, before you go to a reading, decide if you want to know about what your future holds or what your health holds, and, you know, or what kind of love interests you may have. Don't waste your money going to a medium, you know, go to a psychic, you know, a lot of people are disappointed because they say, "Well, everybody said this is a great psychic," and they may be, but it doesn't mean that they can.
Right, and I think it's the terminology. I think people have become accustomed to just referring to the whole process as psychic.
Yeah, right.
And that's where the problem lies. If people could just understand. So if you're listening and you have friends, share this piece of information. There's a psychic reading and there's a mediumistic reading, and they are totally different. When you're getting a psychic reading, the psychic is picking up the energy either from an object that you brought along or from your energy or some other energy in the room. But a medium is actually connecting telepathically to a spirit on the other side who needs to communicate with you,
yeah.
And that's the difference.
And, of course, you know, it gets complicated because, you know, when we've talked to mediums and, you know, they were, you know, discussing the fact that they didn't give anything that would lead one to believe that they're communicating with spirit, but they're giving you, you know, they're telling you that your basement was just redone, you know, and that's true. So, I mean, where are they getting that from? They have some talent, but we need evidence. When I say we, I'm talking about like in the certification program, you need evidence that it's spirit. So the answer that some give you is, well, all information all psychic information comes from spirit. And I don't buy it myself. But
that's not true. That's just not true.
Say anything's not true.
Well, that can be validated through
right. The
tons and tons of energy research that's being done.
Right. And, you know, you're right. And, I mean, talk to the scientists that study, you know, intuition and telepathy and precognition and things of that nature, and they'll tell you this has nothing to do with communicating with the dead. This is just a real, you know, phenomenon that exists, you know, so.
And physicists will tell you that, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the psychic mediums, we have one that we are very close to and familiar with, and she will sit down and say, are you looking for a psychic reading or are you looking for a medium reading? And if you would say, well, what's the difference? And she says, well, if psychically I'll read your aura, and that'll tell me if you have health problems or, you know, talk about, it'll tell me things about you. But if you're looking to communicate with someone, that's a medium reading. And that's as clear as it can get.
And the way they often describe it is when you ask them, how do you tell the difference? And they say, well, it's a different feel. The information has a different feel to it, you know, and I guess that may be true.
And I think we've become familiar with some people who have psychic ability, which is, I think, pretty amazing in itself, that I get the feeling that sometimes the psychics don't realize what's different, what the medium does, how is that different from what they're doing? The mediums who have experienced both the psychic and the connection to the other side can tell the difference. But often those people, perhaps even newer to the field, and just developing their abilities, don't really seem to understand where they're getting the information from, at least in a few cases of people I've spoken to. And it's only after they study a little bit more about mediumship, they may also be able to develop that ability to connect with the other side and at least then start to see that there is a difference. But I've had a few psychics wonder, you know, why the foundation wasn't interested in their abilities. And I've explained that we're interested in the science behind connecting with those who've passed on, and that as amazing as their ability is, it's just not what we're investigating.
You know, I mean, for our purposes, we're looking for evidence of an afterlife in whatever form that comes. One of the things that, you know, during a reading that people should be aware of is the medium should not be asking questions of you. You know, you can ask a question of a medium, but they should not be. They should be giving you pieces of information, and you should be responding to that with yes or no type answers. Yes being I understand, I see, I get it, whatever, or no, makes no sense, blah, blah, blah. But we know, because we've all seen it, that it's such an emotional time for sitters, and that the sitter, the medium may say, I have, you know, your brother Bill here, and then the sitter just forgets everything they're supposed to do and gets so excited and says, yes, my brother Bill, he was 36, he died in a motorcycle accident, and, you know, and gives him the whole history. And the medium, it's not fair to the medium either. The medium has nothing left to give you, you know. So watch your answers, you know. And I think that there's nothing wrong with you asking a question, you know, to the medium.
I think a lot of the mediums at the end will ask you if you have any questions.
Well, my question always is, the advice we're giving here is for novices and people who don't know their medium. And on the flip side, we know some mediums that are excellent, and we've seen them excellent. By now, we know that they're getting real information. When you sit down with somebody like that, what's the harm of saying, okay, now we're in a conversation? In fact, this person who flew from California afterwards, he was blown away because he goes, I was actually talking to my loved one. I could, you know, we were having a conversation. I was asking, she was giving. And when once you get to a level where you trust your medium, you know, it doesn't become a game anymore. It doesn't become, okay, let me see if you can give me something to prove that you're, they've already proven it. Now let's just get into a conversation with our loved one.
That's you know, you're right, and that's after the more than enough evidence has already been established, so you're on a different level with the medium. We're going to go to a short break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion about what goes on during a reading and some of the ways that some mediums, maybe the ones that aren't developed so much, you know, tend to cheat a little bit, and there are some signs about that. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies Program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio. And the number here, 1-888-815-9756. If you've had an experience with a medium, good or bad, and you'd like to share it with us, give us a call. You know, talking about some of these experiences, there are certain things that mediums do, and there are certain things that mediums do that even that are the good mediums, but they tend to incorporate, you know, some of the stuff. I don't know if you've noticed it, but it drives me crazy when a medium gives a piece of information and then repeats that piece of information three or four times, just switching around the words a little bit as if they're coming up with new information, you know. And yes, that is a sign of cold reading, and yes, that could indicate that there's a fraudulent person on the other end, you know, namely the medium. But a lot of I know that I've seen it done with a lot of mediums that I know are good evidential mediums. So it's just a kind of a trap, I think, that some mediums fall into. Sometimes, you know, they give you some very vague information, and even though they're not looking for it, you tend to fill in the gaps. That goes back by, you know, what we were talking about before. But and the other thing is, and you can surely attest to this, there's a reason why a lot of the medium research is not done with the medium and the sitter together. Because, you know, one of the accusations that people make that foster cold reading is reading body language. And there is really, we have no idea how much information they could get, you know, by looking at you. So, you know, they'll be rapid fire sending, you know, saying three or four things. And then their facial expression or your body posture, they'll know when they hit on something, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're talking about things that sometimes, you know, out and out frauds could do, but that's not my point. We know that some mediums are tremendous with evidence.
I think that we could sometimes, if any mediums are listening to the program tonight, could maybe benefit from some of the just the things that bug us in a reading. I know we all have talked about the psychic cheerleaders. We had an experience where it was really, really a fabulous medium and lots of really validating information. But then all of a sudden, it's, I have an A name and listing Alice, Amy, something. And then, you know, we're guessing. You're just guessing. And it really took away from the impact of the really validating, straight on stuff.
Or else they'll say, let me see, I've got a, it's like an F, Fred or Frank, or, and they go, well, I have an Uncle Phil. Well, Phil says this, and Phil says that, and
right.
For the next 5 minutes, I'm hearing nothing but Phil, and I'm going like, wait a minute, I gave you that.
Yeah, I know, and there are certain things that you find a lot of mediums say. I mean, we've joked about this before, but, you know, a lot of mediums, you know, they get somebody else, they have a grandmother figure here, yeah, you know, I sense she had trouble breathing at the end. You know, it's like, yeah. What happens when you die, you know?
You have trouble staying alive.
You know, so, but, you know, and again, a lot of times, this is, I mean, mediums are human beings, and a lot of their subconscious takes over, and that you're sitting in front of them, and they're not, it's distracting to them, your body language sometimes, and they'll fill in, you know, stuff based upon your reaction, and you just can't help it. It doesn't take, I know, you know, part of, even when we run the medium certification, part of what the session is takes place over the phone, so they can't, you know, see each other. And then, and that's another thing. A lot of people, it's a question a lot of people ask, because they can't possibly see how a phone reading could be, you know, have good results. But the research shows that distance doesn't really mean anything. So,
and the mediums themselves say that they prefer the phone readings because the good mediums prefer the phone readings because it eliminates their distraction of the body language, of sizing up the person. Now they themselves know the information they're getting is pure, and they appreciate that.
Yeah, and then people who question that say, well, how can that be any better? And well, you realize that it's the spirit that's coming through, and spirit doesn't care if you're in New Jersey or in California or what. All they know is my loved one is on the phone with someone who can hear me, and I'm going to go to that person and say something into their ear or give them a visual or something like that, and they'll pass that information along. It doesn't matter, and even some mediums do email readings where they're not even talking to you on the phone. But the point is, it works because spirit knows that's how they're going to get through to you.
Yeah, and you're right, following the connections, as you know from taking part in the research, you know, a lot of the research is done with triple, quadruple, quintuple blind. So you read through the research paper and you can't even figure out how to, the medium could even, the spirit has to be brilliant to follow the trail, you know, and it's still, you know, it gets done. So you're right, Tom.
Yeah.
They find that conduit and it really doesn't matter. So, I mean, don't be afraid to have a phone reading, you know, with a medium. It seems to be, as you mentioned, Fran, sometimes it's even more, you know, evidential.
Right, and I just have to say this, because I never heard it phrased that way, Tom, but I think that you've just educated me as well as a whole bunch of listeners. They're doing the hearing for us.
Yeah.
We can't hear it, so we go to somebody who can hear it. And that just seals it for me, because it just means you don't have to be there, you don't have to be on the phone, you don't have to be at the other end of the computer, you don't have to be anywhere. As long as they know that piece of information that they're giving the medium is going to find its way back to you, they're happy to give it.
Yeah,
or what we said earlier, where you'll sit in a reading and you'll get your next-door neighbor's deceased person comes through and say, hey, go home and tell Louise this. So you don't even have to go to the medium sometimes and you're going to get the message.
Yeah. And, you know, we have to be fair to the medium, too. I know sometimes I sit and observe, you know, a reading going on, and the medium said, well, you know, I have a mother figure here, you know, and then the sitter says, nope, you know, mom's alive. All right. And the medium says, well, then it's a mother-type figure, so it could be grandmother, aunt, you know, go through, and you're sitting there. But, you know, putting myself in the medium's shoes, I mean, you're getting a bit of information. Now you have to kind of narrow it down, you know, so you're feeling a motherly energy, you know. So I know it does sound kind of fishy when you start going, you know. So, but if they follow that up, you know, so now they know it's not mother, it's grandmother. So now if they follow that statement up with evidence from your grandmother, you see the, you know, the process working. So, you know, sometimes we tend to be a little too critical, I think, of what's going on.
I have a question for you, Bob. What do you think if somebody has a really good reading and it was such a good reading that they want to have another one, and they continue to make appointments with the same medium? I want to say, how healthy is that? But they connected and they feel like that medium has making a strong connection with their loved one. Right. So, do you think it's okay?
You know, I mean, I go back to, you know, what Tom said before. What I think about that is, you know, if you've had a session and the medium has proven himself or herself to you by giving you tremendous evidence that the medium could not have, you know, attained from, you know, any other sources, so it's all up to you. If you're convinced that this medium was communicating with your loved one, you don't need the evidence anymore. You believe it. So now it becomes not an evidence-seeking expedition, but it's a communication thing. So I don't see anything wrong with that. For me personally, I would never go to the same medium, you know, twice, because I'm always looking, you know, at the evidence, you know, point of view. And, you know, I've never even gone to a medium that has known me or known anything about me or anything. So, and I'd be taking it to a ridiculous extreme, but that's who I am, you know. So I think that there's nothing wrong with going back if your purpose is to keep the lines of communication open. You know, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. What do you think, Fran?
No, I think that's excellent, because that's exactly what Tom was saying before. Once you've established and you're convinced that you have enough evidence that that medium has your loved one, go ahead with the conversation, because that's the one thing about grief. We are not just overwhelmed with a thing called grief. We have questions about it. We have questions about where the person is. Are they okay? Yeah. What happened when you crossed over? Were there other relatives? We have a million questions. So if you can have that conversation, terrific. It's hard to find mediums that can give you such great evidence up front and then continue with the conversation. You know, and that's why I think that we do this wonderful service with the medium certification program, that we've tried and tested the mediums. We know that they can bring through evidential information. So people can feel comfortable going to our list and saying, okay, I know I'm not throwing my money out. I know I'm going to a reputable medium. So I'm putting everything in place to have a good reading.
Not a guarantee.
Right, and it's still not a guarantee. That was where it was.
But I have a bit of advice for that, for the person who wants to go back. A lot of mediums will tell you that we all have the ability. It's just that we've been trained through society and you know, our upbringing and all that sort of thing, and to discount it and say, oh, that was just coincidence or whatnot. That we get the signs. So if you want to go back to a medium, if you've been to a medium and you know that your loved one is there around and communicating, before you go back to the next time, keep a pad of paper. And when you see something, like if you see a rainbow or if you see a bird that perches in a different way or something's out of the ordinary, and you think to yourself, is that a sign or is that just a coincidence? Write it down. The next time you go to the medium, ask them, what was that? Or just ask, ask your loved one through the medium, do you come to me in any ways? And see if any of those turn up. So that more than just going back and back to a medium, which there's a phrase of being a psychic junkie, which can be maybe not as a positive an experience. Use it as a learning experience. Use it as an experience to get yourself into a mode where you recognize the communication. And then you can go out yourself in the daytime, in the morning, and you see, for us, a dragonfly comes and hovers right in front of your face, and you go, oh, hi. You know, I recognize that. You know, the more that happens, and the more the spirit knows that they don't have to wait until you're sitting in front of somebody who can hear them, the more they'll send you stuff.
I think it's anything that catches your attention.
Well, even something that really moved you.
Yeah.
I had an experience that just blew me away so much that I had a reading with the medium hoping that this person would validate the experience, so I would say, okay, I wasn't crazy, it really happened. And I was on the, you'll laugh, I was on the phone, this was a 4-hour reading.
Wow.
And the information never came through. Now, I asked for it to come through, it didn't come through. Oddly enough, about a month later, I was in a group reading, and the information came through with a different medium. So is that the element of the time and space missing, you know, like,
yeah.
Or?
Yeah. You know, and there's, Bob mentioned it, you mentioned it, it's sort of in passing, but it's a good point to put out there. If you've never been to a medium and you go and you ask, well, how do I know that I had a real reading? The word mind-blowing has come up twice tonight. It is a mind-blowing experience. If you walk away from that going, oh, my God, how could they possibly have known that? That's how you know. And if it's anything less, you probably didn't have a real reading.
Or you went to a psychic.
Yeah.
But I do think that we owe it to everybody to stress the fact that we realize that it's emotional and people are grieving, deeply bereaved, and they're looking at a medium for a lifeline, and there is such a thing as becoming addicted to mediums, you know, and people have to, you know, mediums, as they'll be the first ones to tell you, they're not therapists, you know, I mean, they're giving you information that's helpful, but don't try to keep your loved one alive by thinking you're going to keep them alive by going to a medium constantly. It's a wonderful blessing, but sooner or later you have to come to your own form of communication. And
right, your own relationship. And I think that's where Tom was going. That
right.
is the most important thing, is that we have to understand they want to continue the relationship. If they didn't, they wouldn't be looking through portals to come through with messages. You're getting a reading and bring the message to your neighbor because it really belongs to them. They really want to continue their relationship. It's not just they just want to know, let you know they're okay. They want to let you know they're a part of your life and that they're seeing all of you, and they're there for the parties, they're there for the graduations, they're there for the weddings and the babies, and they want to remain a part of that.
Right. Let's talk quickly, I know we're winding down, about, you know, all right, now you've had a reading, it's over, what do you do now? You know, as Tom mentioned, you know, you had your recording, you have your notes. First thing you do, first thing I would do is refer to your notes and listen to that tape, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and a lot of times you have to call up your aunt or your mother or somebody and say, you know, do you remember an Uncle Fred, and did he do something like this? And a lot of times something that you've written down that you didn't know about will come back to you through a friend, and then that's even more validation that, wow, how could they have possibly, people say, oh, they're just reading your mind, which, of course, to me is pretty amazing also. But how could they read your mind if you never knew these mm-hmm. facts? And a lot of facts come through in readings that you have to go to somebody else to find out that was a fact.
Yeah, those, and as you mentioned, that is probably the most evidential, because if you didn't know it, you know, how did they know it? The other thing, which happens sometimes, not all the time, and I guess it's still a rare occurrence, but it happens, and it seems to be happening with more frequency, is that sitters go back, they listen to the tape, and they hear voices on the tape that they didn't hear during the reading. We're talking about electronic voice phenomena, which you never hear real time, you know, when it happens. So that's pretty astounding when you go back and you listen to the tape and you hear a voice, and we've heard quite a number of occasions.
Right, and we did that at our conference, the conference you were talking about, Tom, where Tom and Lisa Butler from the American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena actually demonstrated it working. Now, in the audience, nobody heard it. The room was quiet while that tape recorder was on, but when she played it back was when we heard this man identify himself as George, and the woman that it belonged to in the audience was her husband. So,
right. And the other thing we should mention is that a lot of people report, I know it happened to me once where, you know, I had a reading, walked away, was not very happy, wasn't very evidential. And then that night I had a dream visit, you know, and I had all these incredible things that come through in the dream. So who knows, you know, how that comes about. Maybe, you know, maybe your loved one is, you know, knocking you on the head saying, hey, I tried my best. You know, now, you know, let's try it this way. When your conscious mind is at rest, now I'll get through to you, you know. So pay attention that way. You know, pay attention to your dreams. And as Tom mentioned, you know, keep that pad and a little nightlight near the bed and write it down when it happens. Because
the greatest thing are those little pens that glow in the dark.
Yeah.
They have a little light attached to the ball of the pen. It's built into the pen, and you can not wake up anybody else, and you just start writing in the dark. And
I mean,
you can actually read it in the morning.
Yeah.
When you say, what does it all mean? It means something different to everybody. You know, I mean, it's all about your personal evidence and your personal beliefs, and this is just another tool, and it can be a wonderful tool, but you have to be aware, and unfortunately, like in every profession in this world today, there are a lot of frauds and charlatans, and these are, in the mediumship field, particularly despicable because they're preying on people that really...
In defense, not that I'm saying it's right, but there's such a craze of what I call wanna mediums these days. I mean, they're coming out of the woodwork. And we understand that we're all capable of doing this. I mean, I could put out a shingle tomorrow, too, and I could probably earn a whole lot of money. But I would not be as developed as the mediums that have made it through the medium certification program or the ones that work with the laboratories of the universities. But they themselves don't understand that they're underdeveloped. They think they're doing this phenomenal thing.
Right.
And, you know, we see it when the applications come in from the people who want to go through the program. I want to help people. It's really a genuine, I want to help people. But you know what? You're doing more harm than good because if you don't give that person that evidence, they're worse off than when they walked in that door.
And to reiterate, go to the Forever Family Foundation website. There are a list of tested, tried and true mediums. If you want a medium, and even if you're not in the same area, you can call them up and have a phone reading. These people are excellent, and each and every one of them has a great heart.
You'll have a mind-blowing experience.
Well,
okay. I guess we're about winding down.
Well, before we totally wind down, we've been doing this every week. I want to continue to do it till the waters are cleaned up, be it by BP, the United States government, or the universe. Masaru Emoto wrote this wonderful prayer. Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, corals, algae, and all creatures in our Gulf of Mexico. I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you.
Thank you. And with that, we'd like to tell you that our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is actually proving it.
Good night, everyone.